And now here are the starting lineups for tonight's game. For the New York Mets, Richie Ashburn will play in center field and lead off. Batting second, playing shortstop, Elio Chacon. Batting in the third position in right field, Gus Bell. Cleanup for the Mets, in left field, Frank Thomas. Batting fifth at first base, Ed Boucher. The sixth man in the batting order will be the second baseman, Charlie Neal. And batting seventh at third base, Don Zimmer. Batting eighth and doing the catching, Chris Cannizzaro. And on the mound, Bob Miller. For the Cincinnati Redlegs, they will use Don Blasingame in the leadoff position. He'll be playing second base. Batting second at third base, Eddie Casco. In left field, the exciting Beta Pinson. Make that center field. He'll bat third. Batting fourth in right field, Frank Robinson. Batting in the fifth spot, playing at first base, Gordon Coleman. And batting sixth in left field, Wally Post. The seventh batter will be the catcher, John Edwards. Batting eighth and playing in the shortstop position, Leo Cardenas. And on the mound for the Cincinnati Reds, Bob Perkey. You know, fans, like a lot of ball players these days, I just don't like the harsh taste of an unfiltered cigarette anymore. But when it came to choosing the right filter cigarette, I used to get my signals crossed. Some tasted so strong, I might as well not have switched to filter cigarettes at all. And others tasted so light that all the fun and flavor was gone from smoking. Then I discovered Viceroy. What a difference. Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filtered cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. So, fans, remember, there's a big difference in the taste of filter cigarettes. And you can prove it for yourself. Smoke all seven leading filtered cigarettes, and I'll bet you'll find some taste too strong, some too light. But Viceroy's got the taste that's right. That's right. Get Viceroy today. Well, the starting pitchers in today's game, Bob Miller for the New York Mets, working on his second start of the season. He appeared in one other start against Pittsburgh and was the losing pitcher by a score of 8-4. In that game, he worked 5 1/3 innings, giving up 6 hits, 5 runs, all earned. He walked 2 and struck out 1. There go the Cincinnati Reds out on the field. And the starting pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, a veteran of many seasons, Bob Perkey. He will be making his fourth start of the season. He has a record of 2 wins and no losses. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem. Singing our national anthem. It's a beautiful night for baseball here in Cincinnati. The temperature today right around 80 degrees. Still a small amount of twilight in the sky. And it's baseball here at Crosley Field. The second game played in Crosley Field by the New York Mets. They lost the first one last night. The dimensions of the ballpark down the left field line is 328 feet. Out in left field, behind the left fielder, it goes out to 378. Then there's a high scoreboard that runs approximately 50 to 60 feet in the air, moving over to almost left center. The deepest part of the left center field area is 383 feet, and then a fence extends across to right center field, 390 feet. Coming down towards the right field foul line being 366 feet away, and in right center field, right in back of the right fielder, it's 360 feet. It's an unusual ballpark, and it's a good ballpark for hitters. Hitters being able to hit straight away in the ballpark and take advantage of the short center field fence. Well, we're all set to go as Richie Ashburn steps in. He'll be leading off for the Mets against Bob Purkey. Perkey's first start was against Los Angeles, and he won that by a score of 6-3. He worked 7 1/3 innings, allowing 6 hits, 2 runs, both earned, walking 3 and striking out 1. His second start was against San Francisco, and he won that one by a score of 4-3. His first pitch to Richie Ashburn, a curveball, strike 1 call. In Perkey's third start, he was not the pitcher of record. The Cincinnati Reds lost that game to San Francisco. In that game, he worked 6 2/3 innings, giving up 10 hits and 5 runs. Now the right-hander to the left-handed batter with a changeup. It's hit through the hole in the right field, a base hit. So Richie Ashburn, who came in at 316, picks up the first base hit of the game. He's down at first base, and that will bring up Elio Chacon playing at shortstop. Chacon batting 286. He has 4 hits and 14 times at bat. And he has driven in 2 runs. He bats from the right-hand side. Looking down now at Solly Hemus for the sign as to what he will do at the plate. Hemus coaching at third base. At first base, Cookie Lavagetto. Elio, former Cincinnati Red League, in the batter's box. Bob Purkey throws a slider, a curveball, a fastball, and a knuckleball. First pitch as the runner goes is hit by the third baseman out in the left field. Ashburn's going to try for third. Post is up with the ball. The throw, the slide, no play. Over to second base. Chacon going is out. So Ashburn on the hit and run play gets third base safely. But Chacon on the throw to third base tried to stretch his single into second base and he couldn't make it. If you're scoring, he went from the left fielder to the third baseman. And then over to the second baseman. 7-5-4. Chacon out, one out, a runner at third. Now Gus Bell steps in. He bats from the left-hand side. Gus batting 182, has 6 hits and 33 times at bat in the season. He played here in this ballpark last year for Cincinnati. He had a 255 year for the Redlegs in 61. The first pitch swung on and foul tip back in the catcher's glove. Strike one. Infield playing in against Gus Bell with a runner at third base. Defensively for the Reds, Edwards the catcher. At first base, Coleman. At second base, Blasingame. At shortstop, Cardenas. At third base, Casco. Bob Purkey on the mound into the full windup. And the one-strike pitch. Swung on, a knuckleball. Fouled out in the dirt. Strike two. In the outfield, Wally Post in left field. In center field, Veda Pinson. In right field, Frank Robinson. The umpires in tonight's game, Al Foreman behind home plate. Tom Gorman at first base. Bill Jankowski at second. And Ed Sudol at third. Ball game just getting underway here at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Two-strike pitch to Gus. Foul tip back on the area back of home plate. And the count a hold at 0-2. Another knuckleball by Bob Purkey. Purkey, an ex-Pittsburgh Pirate, has had some great seasons for the Cincinnati Reds. Last year, he won 16 and lost 12 for Cincinnati as they won the National League pennant. Again, kind of foul back as Berkey throws a fastball, so the Cavs stay at no balls and two strikes with one out. Ashburn at third base and no score in the game. Berkey, a 32-year-old right-hander, has posted winning marks of 17, 13, 17, and 16 games since coming to Cincinnati from Pittsburgh in 1957. He was in a trade for Don Goss. A knuckleball outside, ball one. One ball and two strikes. In 1961, in 36 games, Berkey, with a 16-12 mark, had a 3.73 earned run average. He worked 246 innings, and he walked only 51, struck out 116. This is his fourth start of the season. The 1-2 pitch to Bell, inside, a slider, ball two. Two balls and two strikes. Enter looking for a sign from John Edwards, the catcher, working carefully with a runner at third, infield in, has a 2-2 count. Into the windup, and the pitch to Bell, a knuckleball that's down low, and actually ball three. Bell starts to first base thinking it was ball four, and it is ball. No, now he calls him back, and there's a little argument at home plate. Bell thought it was ball four. Umpire said it was ball three, and so Bell has a 3-2 count, and he comes back to home plate. Scoreboard had it posted at 2-2 before the pitch, so that makes it 3-2 on the scoreboard, and that's the right ball and strike count. Gus Bell batting with a 3-2 count and one out. The on-deck batter, Frank Thomas. Now the full windup and the full count pitch fouled away. So Bell will have another shot at Bob Berkey with a count 3-2. Just a slight breeze blowing towards left field, not enough to really affect the ball hit in the air. Berkey, 6'2", gets the side on the mound, now shakes off the first one, flips his glove back and forth, takes the second, goes into the windup, and the 3-2 pitch, foul back on the screen. So Gus stays alive once again, 3-2. Last year, Berkey started 34 games for the Cincinnati Reds, a lot of starts. He was used only twice in relief. Now he winds in the 3-2 situation. Right back at him, but through the pitcher's mound, picked up by Cardenas over to first base in time. And Cardenas made a great play as he dove for the ball, picked it out of the air on the bouncing side, went to his knees, got up and threw his man out. And scoring from third base, Richie Ashburn. Berkey had a chance to flag that one down and missed it. And Cardenas, who was playing shallow at shortstop, had to make a great play to keep Bell from picking up a base hit. It's a run batted in for Gus Bell, and the New York Mets go out in front, 1-0, and Frank Thomas steps in. Thomas batting 262, right-handed batter, has four home runs. First pitch to Frank, a knuckleball in the inside corner, strike one. Thomas with that familiar stance, bat held high, and he stands right on top of the plate. And the one strike pitch to him is hit hard on the ground to Cardenas at short. Right at him. He's up over high. Coleman shifts and makes a play. And that retires the side. In the inning for the New York Mets, the top of the first, they pick up one run on two hits. No errors, no one left, and the score at the end of the top half of the first. The Mets won, the Cincinnati Redlegs coming to bat. You know, many of you baseball fans these days are filter smokers. And if you're like me, you just don't like the harsh taste of an unfiltered cigarette anymore. But even among filter cigarettes, there's a big difference in taste. Some taste so strong you wouldn't know they had a filter at all. Others taste so light that there's no more fun or flavor in smoking. Well, now you don't have to settle for a minor league taste in your cigarette, because Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Fans, find out for yourself. Smoke all seven leading filter cigarettes, and I'll bet you'll find some too strong, some too light. But Viceroy's got the taste that's right. That's right, fans. Pick up a carton today. Start enjoying Viceroy's league-leading taste. Well, as we move to the bottom half of the first inning, the Redlegs coming to bat. They will send up Don Blasingame as their leadoff man against Bob Miller. Miller has a major league record of 9 wins and 9 losses, all compiled while pitching for St. Louis. He's had one start officially, actually started 2 games. The first time out, he was rained out, and so it didn't count or go in the record books. He's a losing pitcher, 0-1 in this season. He lost 8-4 to Pittsburgh. In that game, he worked 5 1/3 innings, giving up 6 hits, 5 runs, all earned. He walked 2 and struck out 1. Bob Miller, a right-hander. Now he's all set to go against the leadoff man, Don Blasingame. Blasingame with a .233 average, a left-handed batter. Miller throws down too low on his first pitch, ball 1. Defensively for the New York Mets, it's at third base, Don Zimmer. At shortstop, Elio Chacon. At second base, Charlie Neal. At first base, Ed Boucher. Chris Canacero, the catcher. In the outfield, Thomas in left, Ashburn in center, and Bell in right. The 1-ball pitch, too low, ball 2. So Miller now, 2 balls and no strikes to the leadoff man for the Cincinnati Reds. Miller was drafted from St. Louis for the $125,000 draft price. He's a restaurateur in St. Petersburg, Florida. There's his first strike, a fastball in the outside corner. 2 balls and 1 strike. Zimmer at third base, playing in right on top of the left-handed batter, looking for a possible bunt. Fastball, it catches on the outside corner once again. Strike 2. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Now Zimmer moves back with the bunt situation practically eliminated. He's about 3 steps in back of the line, running from second to third. Before, he was about 5 steps in. Miller back with a curve that's inside, ball 3. 3 balls and 2 strikes. The on-deck batter, Ed Casco, he'll be followed by Beta Pinson. Mets picked up 1 run in the top half of the first when Ashburn singled, went to third on Chacon single, and scored as Gus Bell grounded out to the shortstop. Miller with a 3-2 pitch. It's lined in the right center. Ashburn breaking in, now moves to his left and makes the catch. The ball well hit, but right at Richie Ashburn in center field for out number 1. That will bring up Eddie Casco. Casco batting .306, has 19 hits and 62 times at bat. Right-handed batter. Last year hit .271 for the Redlegs. He's a very valuable player, sort of a type player you need in a ball club. He hits and runs well, gets the bat on the ball well. First pitch to Casco, inside, ball 1. He wears glasses. as many ball players do nowadays in Major League Ball. Strike called as Bob Miller comes in with a slider. One ball and one strike. Miller 6-1 goes into the windup, and the 1-1 pitch to Casco hits sharply. Zimmer up with it as he goes to his left over the first in time. Don Zimmer. And the ball was dropped by Boucher, but the sign given that he was dropping the ball and dropped the ball while he was throwing. Fine play by Don Zimmer. He went in the hole and pulled that one down one-handed and made his throw to first base. Two men down, and now Veda Pinson steps in. Veda Pinson, who can do just about everything you want done in the ball field, a left-handed batter. He's off to a fine start this year, hitting .368. Last year, he hit .343. Fly ball hit deep to left field. Thomas going back near the scoreboard. Can't get to it. It is off the scoreboard. Pinson at second base, holds there, and he is up with a stand-up double. First base hit picked up by the Cincinnati Reds here in the bottom half of the first as they trail 1-0. And now Frank Robinson steps in. Robinson, the other half of the Pinson-Robinson combination that has done so well here in Cincinnati, off to a slow start this year. He's batting .176. But last year, he was the most valuable player in the National League. He had a fine year last year, hitting .323 with 37 home runs and 124 runs batted in. Robinson, a right-handed batter, stands right on top of the plate, very similar to the position that Frank Thomas takes. Chokes up on the bat about 2 inches. Bob Miller with his first pitch. Curveball, it's down low, ball one. Robinson with 9 hits and 51 times at bat this year. Miller checking Benson at second. Now comes to the plate. Inside and high. Ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Robinson's first year was 1956, and he was 20 years old, and he hit 38 home runs in that first year. He was named the rookie of the year. His 38 home runs tied a freshman mark for home runs by a first-year player. Hard ground ball to Zimmer. He is up. He throws over underhanded to Boucher in time for out number three, and that retires the side. In the inning for the Cincinnati Reds, no runs, one hit, no errors, one man left in the score. At the end of one inning of play, the New York Mets 1, Cincinnati Reds nothing. Well, let's check a look at the scores in the National League. Philadelphia at Milwaukee, a night game. That game has not started. San Francisco at Pittsburgh, also a night game. St. Louis at Houston, the night game. One game played in the National League, and that was at Chicago. And the Chicago Cubs pulled one out from the Los Angeles Dodgers, 9-6. And the Cubs scored 4 big runs in the bottom half of the 8th inning to win the game. Winning pitcher in the game was Don Elston in relief, and the losing pitcher was Larry Sherry in relief of Padres. Home runs, plenty. Snyder had one in the fourth with no one on. Willie Davis in the fifth with no one on. Santo in the third with two on. Banks in the eighth with no one on. And Rogers in the eighth with two on. Over in the American League, the New York Yankees scored 4 runs in the bottom half of the ninth to edge the Chicago White Sox 7-6. Sheldon was the winning pitcher for the Yankees in relief. Ford was a starter. Fisher was a losing pitcher for the White Sox. Pizarro was a starter. Landis had a home run in the fifth. Scowen had one in the eighth. Boston 7, Washington 1, that game over. Connolly was the winning pitcher. Hannon was the loser. And Kansas City 9, Detroit 8, And the winning pitcher in that game for Kansas City, Jerry Walker. The losing pitcher, Doug Gallagher. Minneapolis at Baltimore tonight game, and Cleveland at Los Angeles. Now the first pitch to Ed Boucher by Bob Purkey is fouled away, strike one. Boucher, batting for the first time, is hitting 375, a left-handed batter. Perky, a right-hander with a knuckleball that's way outside. It goes by his catcher, John Edwards, ball one. One ball, one strike. Mets scored the only run of the game in the first inning when Ashburn singled to right, went to third, and Elio Chacon singled, and scored on the grounder to the shortstop by Gus Bell. One pitch to Boucher, outside, ball two. Two balls and one strike. Boucher has six hits and 16 times at bat, and two of those hits, home runs. And he's the only Met to hit a home run with a man on base this year. He's done that twice. Curveball catching on the inside corner. Strike two. Two balls and two strikes. Frank Thomas leads the Mets in home runs with four, and also runs batted in with seven. Boucher has two home runs and five runs batted in. 2-2 pitch to Boucher. Hit on the ground to the second baseman blasting game. An easy chance. He throws to Coleman, gets his man by five steps for out number one. That will bring up Charlie Neal. Neal batting 314, has one home run and four runs batted in. Right-handed batter. Wearing number four, a number he wore for the Los Angeles Dodgers last year. First pitch to Neal, fouled on the ground to the left side. Strike one. No balls, one strike. Charlie Neal, the batter. Next pitch to him, a fastball fouled away, strike two. Neal makes his home in Longview, Texas. And that's where he was born. He's 31 years of age, 5'10". The 0-2 pitch to Neal, swung on, missed and dropped by the catcher, and Edwards picks it up and makes the tag as Neal starts to first base. So a strikeout by Bob Purkey on a knuckleball, his first, and two men are out, and that brings up Don Zimmer. Don batting 083, he has 3-for-36. After a great spring, he got off to a very slow start. But before the game, he said, this is going to be my night. First pitch to him, fouled away, strike one. Bob Purkey, an old teammate of mine, and I was talking to him before the game, and he said his knuckleball this year hasn't been working at all, and he would not use it. So far in the game, he has used it plenty. He said he was having trouble with the rotation. Inside to Don Zimmer. One ball, one strike. He has a rather unique way of developing his knuckleball, and this is the way he learned to throw it. He would toss it from about 30 feet, halfway from the pitcher's mound to home plate, and get it to work there, and then he would slowly move back to 40 feet, then 50 feet, and then to 60 feet. 1-1 pitch. Hit on the ground to the shortstop's right. Cardner's up and over to first base in the dirt, but Coleman digs it out. Good play by Gordon Coleman at first base. In the inning for the New York Mets, three up and three down, and the score at the end, a 1.5 innings of play. New York 1, Cincinnati Reds, nothing. Ask any manager in the league, and he's sure to agree. The true test of a good hitter isn't his batting average against second-string pitching. No, sir. It's how well he does against the ace pitchers around the league. And top-flight competition is the true test of a cigarette tube. That's why I say smoke all seven leading filter cigarettes. You'll find some taste too strong. They might as well not have a filter at all. And others taste too light. They take all the men-sized flavor out of smoking. But I'll bet dollars to donuts, your taste will tell you Viceroy bats 1,000 against all comers. Because Viceroy's got the taste that's right.
One, two, three, four, go.
If your filter cigarette is tasting too strong, don't you sometimes wonder if your brand is wrong?
Well, Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong.
Not too light. Viceroy's got
the taste that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And now, while Bob Miller warms up on the mound, we pause for station identification.
You're tuned to WGY, 10 on your radio dial, the General Electric Station, Schenectady.
All set to go. The bottom half of the second, this is Ralph Kiner, along with Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy on the play-by-play from Crosley Field in Cincinnati. The New York Mets out in front, 1-0, as the Redlegs come to bat, and they are setting up for their first man here in the second inning, Gordon Coleman, their first baseman. Coleman, a left-handed batter, and Bob Miller, the pitcher, throwing. Just missing outside, ball one. Miller gave up one hit in the first inning that he worked. That was a two-base hit, two Vaden Pitson. Coleman batting 278. Fastball outside, ball two. Coleman had a good year last year. He had a 287 average for the season with 26 home runs and 87 runs batted in. He's a big fella and hits all ways. Has good power to left, center, and right. High pop-up to left field. Thomas coming in will have to wait. Now he drifts back. And he makes the catch. So Coleman goes down for out number one, and here comes Wally Post. One to nothing, New York. As Poe steps in the batter's box, he's hitting 311. Last night, he had a long home run to center field, his fifth of the year. Also had two doubles for a big night. First pitch to the right-handed batter. Checking the swing. It's going out of the right field for a base hit. Poe gets the first base and holds. He tried to hold up. Still got enough of the ball to hit a lazy line drive through the hole in the right field for a base hit. So it's hit number two off Bob Miller, and John Edwards comes in. Edwards batting 211, has 8 hits and 38 times at bat. A left-handed batter. Miller to Edwards with his first pitch. It's hit out in front of the home plate area. Miller up with it quickly, throws over to Boucher, and on the play, moving down to second base, Wally Post. That puts a runner at second base as Edwards goes down for out number two, and it brings up the shortstop, Leo Cardenas. Cardenas hitting 194 with 6 hits and 31 times at bat. Had a good year last year for Cincinnati. He hit 308. Right-handed batter who plays at shortstop. 1-0 New York, bottom of the second inning. Bob Miller to the right-handed batter with a curveball on the outside corner, called strike one. Next pitch is inside, ball one. One ball and one strike. Card-
Gardner started playing baseball in 1956 with Tucson, and that year he had 23 home runs. 1-1 pitch. Little line drive in the center field. It'll be a base hit. Wally Post coming in from second base has rounded the third, and he'll score. And that'll tie up the game at 1-1. Well, the two base hits this inning, nothing to brag about by the Cincinnati Reds. Post tried to check his swing and got one to right field, and right there, Cardenas was halfway fooled and just hit a soft liner in the center field to tie up the ball game. That'll bring up Bob Purkey, the pitcher. One game with the pitcher, a right-handed batter in the batter's box with two men out. First pitch to Perky, foul down in the dirt, strike one. No balls, one strike. Cardenas at first base with two men out. Miller with his next pitch, a curveball, swung on a miss, strike two. Canizero, the catcher, dropped the ball but kept it right out in front of him. Coaching at third base, Reggie Otero, former ball player. And at first base, Dick Sisler, who you'll probably remember for a home run in 1950 against Don Newcomb that put the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series. Next pitch to Bob Purkey, fouled away, and the count of hold at 0-2. That home run came in extra innings. And it gave the Whiz Kids a shot at the New York Yankees, which they couldn't handle. Two strike pitch, swung on and missed, strike three. So Bob Miller retires the side. That's his first strikeout. And in the inning for the Cincinnati Reds, one run on two hits, no errors, one man left, and the score at the end of two innings of play, all tied up. New York won, Cincinnati won. Well, in checking our schedule, New York Mets have a day off tomorrow. Then they will open up in a series against the Philadelphia Phillies in the Polo Grounds on Friday afternoon, game time at 2 o'clock. On Saturday, again against the Phillies, Ladies' Day, and all ladies admitted to the Polo Grounds for a service charge of 50 cents. On Sunday, a doubleheader against the Phillies. Monday, a day off, and then the first night game of the season against the National League champions, the Cincinnati Reds. There are three convenient ticket locations for you to purchase your tickets for all these games at the Polo Grounds. One at the Grand Central Station, located on the Vanderbilt side. Another in the Long Island waiting room of the Pennsylvania station, and the third out at the Polo Grounds. You can also make ticket reservations at any of the Howard clothing stores throughout the New York area. You can also mail in for your tickets, box seats at $3.50, reserve seats $2.50, and be sure to enclose 25 cents for handling. Specify the date and the number of tickets and the type, and mail to the ticket manager, care of the Polo Grounds, New York 39. And now as we move to the top of the third, it's my pleasure to bring in Lindsey Nelson.
Thanks very much, Ralph Connor. Chris Canizero will lead off now for the New York Mets. He's a right-hand batter, a young catcher who's been getting a lot of work lately. Bob Purkey dips into the windup, and here's the pitch, curveball swung on and foul. Down to Sally Hemus, coaching at third. He fields the ball and fires it back out to Robert Purkey, wearing the number 37, as is his custom, for the Cincinnati Reds. Perky started one World Series game against the New York Yankees last year and would have started the sixth game if there had been a sixth game. But as you'll recall, the Yankees won it in five, ending it up right here at Crosley Field. Here's a pitch swung on and fouled off. This time into the stands back of first base. It's out of play. So it's a two-strike count now to Chris Canizero. Through two innings, the New York Mets have one run on two hits and no errors, and the Cincinnati Reds have one run on three hits and no errors. Canizero has been up 16 times this season and has one hit. He has driven in one run. He did that with a sacrifice fly. That pitch misses high. It's 1-2 now to Chris Canizero. Canizero was selected by the New York Mets off the roster of the St. Louis Cardinals in the expansion draft. He is considered to be an excellent receiver with a fine arm. And if he can manage to hit National League pitching, we'll get a great deal of work with the New York Mets. There is a pitch going high for a ball. It's 2-2 now to Chris Canizero. Cookie Lavagetta is coaching at first, as usual, and Sally Hemus around at third for the Mets. Bob Perkey's getting the sign from Johnny Edwards. Now the pitch to Canizero. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Went for an outside pitch. And that is strikeout number two for Bob Perkey as he gets Chris Canizero. And that will bring up pitcher Bob Miller for the New York Mets. 23-year-old Bob Miller, wearing number 24, coming out. Takes the bat from Richie Ashburn, who is holding it there in the on-deck circle. And Miller takes a couple of cuts on the way up to the plate. And steps in. He's right-hand batter, right-hander all the way. It was a very warm, sunny day in Cincinnati. Perkey now dips into the windup, and here's the pitch. It's in there for a call. Strike one to Bob Miller. Riding out to the ballpark from the hotel in downtown Cincinnati tonight, the player's bus passed a temperature sign that was reading 88 degrees, and that was shortly after 5 p.m. There's a pitch outside. It's 1-1 now to Bob Miller. Defensively, around the infield, the Cincinnati Reds have Gordon Coleman at first base, Don Blasingame at second, Leo Cardenas at short, and Eddie Casco at third. He fakes and bluffs a bunt, then tries to bunt the ball and takes the strike. It's 1-2. Looked as though we were going to bluff the bunt and then tried to bunt it. It's 1-2 now to Bob Miller. Takes a little walk around outside the batter's box and comes back in. One ball and two strikes. Perkey started his motion and stops now, looks in again. Wasn't the pitch he wanted, apparently. So Miller steps out of the batter's box, and Al Foreman, the umpire behind the plate, calls time. Now we're all set once again. Here's the pitch. Swung on and a little number. Going back to the mound, Perkey's up with it. Plays over to Gordy Coleman in time, and he's out. So Miller has grounded out from Perkey to Coleman. Two away. And that will bring up Richie Ashburn, leadoff man and manager Casey Stengel's batting order for the Mets. Ashburn opened the ball game with a single and scored the only run scored for the Mets thus far. That was in the top half of the first inning. Two men out and nobody on for the New York Mets, who came into tonight's ball game with a record of 1 victory and 10 losses. As Ralph kind of told you, the Cincinnati Reds came in with a record of 6 victories and 8 losses. Ashburn has asked umpire Al Foreman to look at the baseball. He does and fires it right back out to Bob Perkey. In the outfield for the Cincinnati Reds, Wally Post in left, Veda Pinson in center, and Frank Robinson in right. And they play Ashburn shaded around toward left field, despite the fact that he is a left-hand batter. That's the way he is generally played in the National League, where he has performed for many years. That's a call strike. Nothing and one now to Richie Ashburn. Eddie Casco at third, even with the grass, against the speed of Ashburn. Perkey's pitch inside, moving him back, and it's 1-1 now. Bob Perkey was traded to the Cincinnati Reds from the Pittsburgh Pirates in exchange for pitcher Don Gross. Here's a drive going out into center field. It's going to dip in there for a base hit. Veda Pinson comes over, one hops it, fires it back, and Richie Ashburn is on with the second hit of the night. A single to right center field. That is base hit number 3 for the Mets off Bob Perkey. With two men out, Elio Chacon is coming up. He singled in the first inning to left and was out trying to go to second. When Ashman went to third and the ball went over there, Chacon took the turn and dug for second but was out. That play went close to Cascoda Blasting Game. Two men out, runner at first, score tied 1-1. Top half of the third inning at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. That pitch is in there for a call strike to Elio Chacon. He, of course, was with the Cincinnati Reds last year, a member of that pennant-winning aggregation, and was an expansion draft choice of the New York Mets off the roster of the Cincinnati Reds. Berkey's looking in to get the sign now as Ashburn takes his lead at first base. Berkey is into the stretch position. Throw to first, not in time. Ashburn hustling back over there. Gordon Coleman, the first baseman, holding defensively against the runner. Coleman, an alumnus of Duke University, native of Washington, D.C. Here's a ground foul ball off the end of the bat of Elio Chacon. An outside pitch and thought it right at the end of the bat. Over into the field boxes along the first baseline. So it's a two-strike count out of Chacon. Gus Bell has moved into the on-deck circle now for the New York Mets. The Mets won and the Cincinnati Reds won. That pitch is outside. 1-2. Last year, Bob Perkey was in 36 games with the Cincinnati Reds, had a record of 16 victories and 12 losses. In 246 innings last year, he walked only 51 and he struck out 116. Ashman leads it first. Here's Perkey with the 1-2 pitch. He's running, and the pitch is low. The throw goes through to second base. Ashman sliding it out at second. The ball rolled away from second baseman Blasingame, and he is safe there. The ball rolled away from Blasingame as, on the slide, Ashman went in and booted it away, and so he is safe at second base. The umpire at second, Bill Jakowski, had given the out sign. The official scorer informs us that it will be scored as a stolen base.
That's a little unusual right there, Lindsay, to have the umpire indicate the out sign and then when the ball got away to give the man a stolen base.
Yes, it is unusual because the sign was given by Jakowski very clearly out and then the ball rolled away. And if the official scorer has called it a stolen base, that is the first stolen base for the New York Mets this season. It puts Richie Ashman at second. The pitch to batter Elio Chacon was low. The count to him is 2-2. Now Ashman with speed is in scoring position at second. He leads off the bag as Bob Perkey looks in to get the sign. As it now is into the stretch. And the pitch is on the way. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. That is strikeout number 3 for Perkey. As the Mets go down on the top half of the third with no runs, on one hit, no errors, and one left. And at the end of 2 1/2 innings of play, the score is the New York Mets won and the Cincinnati Reds won. But you know, there are many things we call perennial. Some flowers, books, or songs that are old favorites. In fact, anything that we enjoy year after year. In New York, I say that term applies to Rheingold. Year after year, people continue to enjoy the brisk, bright taste that is Rheingold's alone. And year after year after year, Rheingold is the largest selling beer in New York. You don't have to look very far to find the secret of Rheingold's popularity. The answer is right in the name, Rheingold Extra Dry. Yes, the two biggest words in beer, extra dry, tell you why Rheingold has a taste no other beer can match. Because it's dry, Rheingold is more naturally refreshing. It has more of that crisp, clean flavor you want in a beer. What a wonderful difference dry makes. Why not enjoy a glass of Rheingold along with the game and taste the difference for yourself?
Oh.
going now to the bottom half of the third inning. The Cincinnati Reds will send up Don Blasingame, Eddie Casco, and Veda Penson. Blasingame, flat out center in the first inning, hit the ball well, but Richie Ashburn moved over a few steps to haul it down. Bob Miller, the pitcher for the New York Mets, winds and fires, and it's in there for a call, strike one. Young Bob Miller with a record of no victories and one loss thus far this season for the New York Mets. He was signed as a bonus baby by the Cardinals in his native St. Louis when he was 18 years of age. Miller's pitch goes outside for a ball. And Miller was one of the four bonus choices by the New York Mets at the expansion draft of the National League after the 1961 World Series. He was a bonus choice at $125,000, about five times the bonus he received when he was signed to the Cardinals. He is hit by a pitch ball. Blasingame had started as though to drag a bunt, and as he turned, was hit by a pitch ball, and now a big argument from Casey Single to umpire Al Foreman that he swung at the ball. And now Chris Canizzaro, the catcher, and Bob Miller, the pitcher, both asking about this situation because he had started as though to drag the bunt. Casey Single out in front of the dugout a few steps now has retreated as Al Foreman, the umpire behind the plate, shakes his head, no, 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 says he is hit by the pitch ball and is on at first base. Well, Blasingame had started the move as though to drag the bunt and was hit by the inside pitch and is on at first now with nobody out. And Eddie Casco, who is an excellent hit-and-run man, by the way, he can manipulate that bat, is at the plate. Right-hand batter, he's running. Hit-and-run is on, and it is fouled out. It is strike one to Eddie Casco. Casco was one of the principal reasons why the Cincinnati Reds were able to hang in there last season and advance on to the National League Championship and into the World Series. A steady performer. He is compared by many baseball observers to Dick Groat of the Pittsburgh Pirates in the manner in which he can manipulate the bat at the plate. Throw over to first since Blasingame diving back in. Both Blasingame and Casco saw service with the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League. Bob Miller's into the stretch. Here's the pitch. Ground ball. Neal can't get through it. It's going through to center field. And Blasingame's on his way to third as the ball is relayed back in. There are runners at first and third. Eddie Casco hitting it up the middle. Charlie Neal came to his right to try to get to it. Couldn't flag it down and went on through to center field where Richie Ashburn relayed the ball back in. So now the Cincinnati Reds have runners at first and third. And Veda Penson, batting number three in the batting order, is up. Penson doubled to the base of the scoreboard in left field in the first inning. The score is tied 1-1. There is nobody out. Swinging a foul ball off the end of the bat. It's strike one now to Veda Penson. Blasingame is at third and Casco is at first for the Cincinnati Reds. This is the final game of the two-game series between the Mets and the Cincinnati Reds here at Crosley Field. All right, Miller is set to work once again to Veda Penson. And has a drive going out to right field for a base hit. Blasingame comes on to score. Casco around second goes to third. Gus fell up with the ball, fires it into second base. Runners at first and third. Scored 2-1. Cincinnati out in front. Veda Penson stringing out a line shot into right field. That scored Blasingame easily from third and sent Casco from first to third. Penson himself holding it first as the relay from Gus Bell came into Charlie Neal at second. Cleanup batter Frank Robinson coming up. Action now in the bullpen of the New York Mets. Bob Moorhead, a right-hander, up and throwing. Bob Moorhead throwing. Chris Canizzaro has gone out to the mound now to have a word with young Bob Miller, as the Cincinnati Reds have taken the lead for the first time tonight in this ballgame. We're in the bottom half of the third inning. The Reds lead 2-1. Frank Robinson's been up one time. He grounded out, third to first. He has a batting average of 176. Pitches down low for a ball. Frank Robinson had a great spring in exhibition competition. He wore the baseball out, but had a little trouble getting started. He was the most valuable player in the National League last year, one of baseball's premier performers, Frank Robinson. Curveball misses outside. 2-0 now to Robinson. He's been up 52 times and has 9 hits. He has batted in 6 runs. Casco is the base runner at third, and Veda Pinson, with speed to spare, is on at first. Nobody out for the Reds. As a change, it goes high. Robinson laid off of it, and it goes ball 3. Three and 0 now to Frank Robinson, with Gordy Coleman swinging the bats in the on-deck circle. Time has been called now by Veda Pinson at first base. He is over, checking with Coach Dick Sisler. Reggie Otero is the coach at third. The Reds, of course, managed by Fred Hutchinson, and the pitching coach is Jim Turner. 3-0 pitch to Robinson, right down the pike for a call strike one. He was taking all the way. It's 3-1. Outfield shaded slightly toward the left on Frank Robinson. What a major league career this fellow has had. Culminated by his performance last season when he was selected as the most valuable player in the National League. Pinson's running as a swing and a ground ball foul. It's out of play, and that will bring Pinson back. Count is 3-2 now to Robinson. They had Pinson going from first on 3-1. There is nobody out. Bob Miller looking in again to get the sign. 26-year-old Frank Robinson, a native of Beaumont, Texas, steps out of the batter's box, and now Chris Canizaro goes out to the line to check with Miller. Last year, Frank Robinson had a batting average of 323 for the Reds. And he had 37 home runs. He's been pretty consistently high up in the home run derby every year since he came to the major leagues. Came up in 1956 with Cincinnati. And hit 38 home runs that first year. He has hit 38, 29, 31, 36, 31, 37. Pinson's running. There's a drive foul down the left field line, going up now on the rooftop of the upper deck. Down in the left field corner. That will bring Pinson back. He was running 3-2, nobody out. Casco is the base runner at third. Frank Robinson has speed himself. He stole 22 bases last year. Bob Moorhead continues to throw in the bullpen for the New York Mets. Miller is into the stretch. Pinson's going. Pitches outside. He walked him. The bases are loaded. So with Gordon Coleman coming up and the bases loaded, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Left-hand batter Gordon Coleman is at the plate. He's been up one time and he flied to left. The bases are loaded for the Cincinnati Reds and there's nobody out. Miller winds and fires and has a swing and a ground ball foul. Coming back. Chopped off right down into the dirt, spinning back behind the plate. For strike one to Gordon Coleman. Fellow with a peculiar batting stance in that He bails out with that front foot, but hangs in there enough to be able to hit the ball to all fields. Swings and misses. It's strike two. Coleman stepped in last year and took over the first base position for the Cincinnati Reds. And it was his ability to do that that allowed manager Hutchinson to leave Frank Robinson in the outfield all season long, something that he wanted to do. Robinson had been used at first base and in the outfield sort of interchangeably before. Two-strike pitch as a ground ball to second base. Charlie Neal up with it. As a play at second, he's out there. Relay to first, he's out there. Double play and a run is scored. Double play, and Casco scored from third. Moving on to third, Veda Pinson. As the double play went, Charlie Neal to Elio Chacon to Ed Boucher. That will bring up Wally Post. The ground ball to Charlie Neal. Made the toss over to Elio Chacon, the shortstop, for the force at second. The relay on to first in time to get Coleman. But Casco scored from third, and Pinson moved from second to third. So now, two men out, runner at third, and Wally Post, right-hand batter, is at the plate. He had a single to right in the second inning. Here's a drive going to right field. It's in there for a base hit. Pinson has scored. Gus Bell pulls it down on a high hop. He lays it in. And it's another single and a run batted in this time for Wally Post. And the Cincinnati Reds lead by a score of 4-1. Here in the bottom half of the third inning. Catcher Johnny Edwards is coming up, and manager Casey Stengel is going to the mound. Manager Casey Stengel going slowly out to the mound now with the number 37 on his back, and the signal goes down to the bullpen where pitching coach Red Ruffing is standing beside Bob Moorhead, who still is warming up, and Moorhead is going to be coming in. Ruffing reaches over, gets the jacket. Is talking now to Moorhead. Manager Casey Stengel still talking to young Bob Miller out there on the mound. This inning, the Cincinnati Reds have scored three runs on three hits. Lassingame was hit by a pitch ball, and Frank Robinson walked into the bargain. So Moorhead now is on his way to the mound. And Bob Miller trudges slowly off the mound and heads for the locker room.
Number 22, Bob Moorhead. Now pitching Moorhead.
So Miller goes out after having pitched 2 2/3 innings in which he gave up four runs on six hits. He struck out one and walked one. And Moorhead is firing down the warm-up tosses. This is the fifth appearance of the season for Bob Moorhead. He has no won and lost record. In the opener against the Cards on April 11th, he pitched three innings in which he gave up six hits, allowed five runs. Only two of them earned, walked one and struck out one. Then on April 15th against the Pittsburgh Pirates, he pitched four innings in which he gave up two hits, no runs, walked none and struck out one. Pittsburgh won the ballgame by a score of 7-2, but that was an impressive performance by young Bob Moorhead. Then on April 19th against the St. Louis Cardinals, Moorhead pitched two innings in which he gave up three runs on three hits, walked none and struck out one. Then against the Pittsburgh Pirates on April 21st, he pitched one inning in relief, gave up no runs on no hits, walked none and struck out one. So thus far this season, he has walked one and struck out four in that department. And here is Johnny Edwards at the plate. He grounded out pitcher to first in the second inning. He was the hitting star of the Cincinnati Reds in the World Series last year, left-hand batter. Swings and fouls it off for strike one. Two men out, and Wally Post is the base runner at first. 23-year-old Johnny Edwards. He was brought up last year by the Cincinnati Reds a little sooner than they had expected to bring him up. But they ran into a catching problem and had to have help behind the plate, and he was a big help to them. Now the pitch to Edwards, and there's a drive going into right field for a base hit. Gus Bell comes over one out, and Wally Post is on his way to third. The throw is coming in. Cut off by Chacon as Post pulls up safely at third, and Johnny Edwards is on. With a line shot into right field. So now the Cincinnati Reds have runners at first and third. Still two men out. And Leo Cardenas is at the plate. He singled to center to drive in a run in the second inning. The Cincinnati Reds are leading the New York Mets by a score of 4-1 here in the bottom half of the third inning at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Moorhead is into the stretch now. Runners leading at first and third. Pitch to Cardenas. Swung out and missed for strike one. Leo Cardenas. He's 23 years old. Went to spring training in 1960 with the Reds and then played at Jersey City where he batted 288. And the Reds recalled him in late July. That pitch is in there for a called strike to Cardenas. The strike two count. Last year, Cardenas got into 74 games with the Cincinnati Reds, was up 198 times, and had a batting average of 308, including five home runs. And manager Fred Hutchinson considers him an excellent ball player. And did not hesitate to stick him into the lineup and move Casco on over to third base. Swinging a foul ball back onto the screen. When Gene Freeze broke his ankle in spring training, that left the Cincinnati Reds with a problem at third base. They tried Cliff Cook there, and they tried Tom Harper there, and now seem to have settled on moving Eddie Casco to third. He had previously played third for the St. Louis Cardinals and for the Cincinnati Reds, and they have stuck Leo Cardenas in at shortstop. Count to him right now, strike two. Runners at first and third, two men out. Pitch is low and away. It's ball one, one and two now. Action continuing in the bullpen for the New York Mets as Sherman Jones is now up and throwing. Sherman Jones throwing in the bullpen for the Mets. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a foul ball coming back. It's out of play in the stands. Caught by a spectator. Manager Hutchinson had John Edwards running on the pitch at first base. With runners at first and third, two men out. Cincinnati Reds 4 and the New York Mets 1. Here in the bottom half of the third inning. Again, the 1-2 pitch. Misses outside. It's ball two. Two and two. Moorhead's getting the sign as runners take their leads at first and third. Now the stretch. And the pitch on the way. Swung on as a fly ball to center. Richie Ashburn is moving back a step or two. He's underneath, and Ashburn takes it for the out that retires the side. So Cardenas has flied to center. And in the bottom half of the third inning, the Cincinnati Reds got three runs on four hits, no errors, and two left. At the end of three full innings of play at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, the score is Cincinnati Reds 4 and the New York Mets 1. Thank you. right now, let's take a look at the scoreboard. In the National League, Philadelphia Phillies are meeting the Milwaukee Braves in Milwaukee tonight. No score yet on that one. And in Pittsburgh, the San Francisco Giants have picked up one run in the top half of the first inning. The Pittsburgh Pirates coming to bat in the bottom of the first. That is Gaylord Perry against Bob Friend. And tonight, the St. Louis Cardinals play the Houston Colt 45s in Houston. No score yet on that one. This afternoon, the Chicago Cubs defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers 9-6 as the Cubs got four runs in the bottom half of the eighth inning to win the ball game. For Chicago, 9 runs on 10 hits and 3 errors. And for the Los Angeles Dodgers, 6 runs on 9 hits and 1 error. Padres started for Los Angeles. Larry Sherry took the loss. Glenn Hobby started for Chicago. Curtis in the sixth, and Elston took the loss. Home runs in the ballgame by Duke Snyder, Willie Davis, Ron Santo, Ernie Banks, and Rogers. In the American League, Kansas City defeated Detroit 9-8. Jerry Walker over Doug Gallagher. In Baltimore, at the end of an inning and a half, the Minnesota Twins won. Baltimore Orioles nothing. That's Lee against Estrada. Cleveland is at Los Angeles tonight. This afternoon, the Yankees defeated the Chicago White Sox 7-6. Sheldon beat Fisher, and the Boston Red Sox beat Washington 7-1 as Conley beat Hannon. Right here, Gus Bell is at the plate. Tries to drag a button, takes strike one. Gus Bell grounded out short to first in the first inning, but drove in a run, the only run that the New York Mets have up to this point. Bell has been up 34 times. He has 6 base hits. His batting average, 176. No home runs and 3 runs batted in. Again, Bob Perkey is set to work. And has a fly ball going deep to center. That is driving Veda Pinson back. He is against the wall, and he takes it for the out. Veda Pinson right back there at the 390 sign. Hauls down the long drive off the bat of Gus Bell for out number one. And that will bring up Frank Thomas. He has been up one time, and he grounded out short to first. We're in the top half of the fourth inning here at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Perkey set to work. Here's the pitch. Swung on and tipped off into the big glove of Johnny Edwards. Strike one to Frank Thomas. The New York Mets will leave Cincinnati by charter plane immediately after this game tonight, coming back to New York. Tomorrow is an off day for the Mets, and then they open at the Polo Grounds on Friday against the Philadelphia Phillies with an afternoon singleton. Ladies' Day singleton Saturday afternoon, and then a big doubleheader on Sunday. Berkey is set to work to Frank Thomas. He watches outside for ball one. It's 1-1. Cincinnati Reds will return the favor by coming to New York next week on Tuesday night, the first night game of the season for the Mets at the Polo Grounds as they take on the Cincinnati Reds, the defending National League champs. Then the Reds will be in for a Wednesday afternoon game. The drive going on out into left field for a base hit. Past Eddie Casco at third. Wally Post comes up with it, relays it back, and Frank Thomas is on at first base. Eddie Casco tried to get a glove on it at third as it went past him. That is base hit number 4 for the New York Mets off Bob Perkey. With one man out, first baseman Ed Boucher is coming up. He has been up one time, and he grounded out second to first. Pitch comes inside to Boucher. Current batting average, 353 for Ed Boucher. He's been up 17 times and has 6 base hits. Here's a fly ball going to left field. Wally Post is coming in. Cardenas is going out, and Cardenas calls and makes the catch. Thomas almost all the way down to second base, hustles back to the bag at first. As Ed Boucher hops out to Cardenas, he went out into short left field to make the catch. Two away, Thomas holding it first, and Charlie Neal coming up. He's been up one time, and he struck out. Bob Perkey has struck out three and walked one thus far. We're in the top half of the fourth inning. President George Weiss of the New York Mets is here in Cincinnati for this two-game series. He has announced to the baseball writers following the Mets that a deal has been consummated and the personnel involved will be announced tomorrow. Pitch is in there for a called strike to Charlie Neal. So there is much speculation among the baseball writers following the Mets as to what personnel may be involved in the personnel changes. One strike count to Neal, right-hand batter. Pitch is low and away. It's ball one. One and one. Throw to first. Thomas is back safely. Neal is hitting 306 right now. Been up 36 times and has 11 base hits. Cincinnati Reds 4 and the New York Mets 1 in the top half of the fourth inning at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Here's a pitch swung on and missed. Strike 2. It's 1 and 2. Manager Fred Hutchinson, who was himself a pitcher during his major league career, says that Perkey's greatest asset is the fact that he knows how to pitch. He's been around long enough to be able to mix up that knuckleball that he uses so effectively with the slider. And there's a swing and a foul ball going out of play. One and two. Bob Perkey pitched in both All-Star games last summer for the National Leaguers. Set to work now with a 1-2 count to Neal. Pitches him tight. He rocks back and takes it. It's 2-2. Bob Perkey for the National League All-Stars last summer pitched two hitless and runless innings in the first All-Star game held at San Francisco, and he was the starter for the National League in the second All-Star game played at Boston. That was the one that ended in a 1-1 tie after nine innings when it rained so hard that they could not continue. 2-2 the count to Neal. Frank Thomas leads it first. The pitch swung on and has a fly ball down the line and right, curving over into the stands and out of play. Count holds it 2-2 to Charlie Neal. I'll bet plenty of you fans are taking this opportunity to check your supply of cool, refreshing Rheingold Extra Dry. Yes, sir? Rheingold is beer as beer should taste, and dry tells you why. So keep plenty of cold Rheingold on hand for every Mets game. 2-2 of the count now to Charlie Neal. He takes strike three called on the pike. He throws the bat down in disgust and walks away as he is called out on strike. Strikeout number four for Bob Perkey. As the Mets in the top half of the fourth get no runs on one hit, no errors, and one left. And at the end of 3 1/2 innings of play at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, the score is Cincinnati Reds 4 and the New York Mets 1. Coming up now, a bit of big-time Dixieland jazz.
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet. It's a dry flavor treat. Won't you try extra dry Rheingold beer?
That's the song that tells you why Rheingold is New York's largest selling beer. Because it's dry beer. Extra dry. Those two little words tell you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costly way for extra refreshment. So try a glass along with the game and discover the difference dry makes. We're going now to the bottom half of the fourth inning. And the Cincinnati Reds will send up Bob Perkey, Don Blasingame, and Eddie Casco. Perkey has been up one time, and he struck out. Bob Moorhead is the pitcher for the New York Mets in relief of Bob Miller, who started and is the pitcher of record. At this point, Perkey is a right-hand batter, right-hander all the way. Moorhead has the sign, dips into the windup, and here's the pitch in there for a call, strike one. Al Foreman is the umpire behind the plate. Tom Gorman is at first. Bill Joukowsky is at second, and Ed Sudall is around at third. Moorhead again is set to pitch. Curveball is a little high, and it's 1-1 now to Perkey. That sends Chris Canizzaro out to the mound to check with Bob Moorhead. Perkey has a batting average of 222 right now. He brought a 250 batting average into the game, but it shrunk when he failed to hit that first time up. Batting averages are flashed on the scoreboard here at Crosley Field, but they are the batting averages with which the player started the game and not the current batting average up to this time at bat. Here's a swing and a foul ball going out of play. Curving into the stand behind first base. It's 1-2 now to Bob Perkey. Bob Moorhead goes to the rosin bag for a moment. He has a count of 1-2 to Perkey, with Don Blasingame now on deck for the Cincinnati Reds. Pitch is outside. Perkey almost went for it, but checked it in time. It's 2-2. Here's a 2-2 pitch. Swung out and has a fly ball going out into center field. Richie Ashburn comes in, has it lined up. He's underneath waiting, and he has it for the out. So Perkey has flied out to Ashburn in center. There's one away, and Don Blasingame is coming up. Flied to center, and he was hit by a pitch ball in the third inning, so officially he is nothing for one. To this point, the Cincinnati Reds have 4 runs on 7 hits and no errors. The New York Mets have 1 run on 4 hits and no errors. We have had no home runs in the ballgame tonight, in case you've joined us along the way. The Blasingame swung on and fouled into the stands and out of play. President Warren Giles of the National League on hand here this evening, as he frequently is, of course, at Crosley Field. National League headquarters are located here in Cincinnati. Strike one count to Don Blasingame at the plate. Pitch is low for a ball. It's 1-1. Don Blasingame is married to Walker Cooper's daughter, who was Miss Missouri one time. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Swing and a fly ball into center field. Richie Ashburn drifting over. He is underneath. He's waiting, and he has it to the out. So Blasingame has flied out to Ashburn in center. Ashburn has 4 putouts in the ballgame thus far. 2 away, nobody on it. Eddie Casco coming up. Casco grounded out third to first and singled, and later scored in the third inning. Goes a right-hand batter. Moorhead is ready now into the windup, and the pitch in there for a call strike got away from Canizzaro and comes back a few steps. He comes back to retrieve it. Zeta Pinson is moved into the on-deck circle now for the Cincinnati Reds. out there or two men out. Moorhead has a strike, one count to Casco. Swing and a foul ball coming back out of play. Strike two count now to Casco. Ball has gone out to Bob Moorhead, rubs it up now, and is looking in to get the sign from Chris Cannizzaro. Has it? Here's the pitch. Swing and a ground ball foul off the bat of Casco. It's out of play. Ran along the tarp, rolled up against the stands, and rolled on into the stands where it's retrieved by a spectator. Veda Penson there in the on-deck circle is excited about getting to the polo grounds in New York next week. Penson has never played in the polo grounds, and those of you in New York baseball fans who have not seen Penson have a treat coming also. One of baseball's most exciting baseball players. He's a complete ball player. He can do it all. He can do everything. The swing and a fly ball going to left field. Frank Thomas is coming in. He is called, and he takes it for the out that retires the side. So Casco flies to left as Bob Moorhead gets the Reds out in order in the bottom half of the fourth inning. No runs on, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. The end of four full innings of play. The score is Cincinnati 4 and New York 1. Speaking of Veda Penson coming to the polo grounds as we were, he'll be in with the Cincinnati Reds on Tuesday night and for the single game on Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to purchase tickets for future Met games in New York, you can do that at a number of convenient ticket locations. Of course, you can order tickets by mail, addressing your request to Ticket Manager, Polo Grounds, New York, 39, New York. Box seats are $350 each. Reserve seats are $250 each. If you order by mail, enclose 25 cents additionally for postage and handling. There is a ticket office at the Polo Grounds, open 7 days a week. You can drop in and purchase your ticket. There is a ticket office in Grand Central Station at the foot of the Vanderbilt Avenue ramp. There is a ticket office in Pennsylvania Station. It's in the Long Island waiting room. Or you can make ticket reservations at any of the Howard clothes stores. There is plenty of excitement on tap at the Polo Grounds this summer as the National League comes back to New York. Leading off for the New York Mets, coming up here in the top half of the fifth inning, Don Zimmer. He's been up one time, and he grounded out short to first. Bob Ferkey, the right-hander who started, still in there for Cincinnati. Pitches outside for ball. Ferkey has won two and lost none thus far this season. That's his record. Set to work. There's a swing and a drive going to left field. Wally Post goes back on the incline and makes the catch a few feet from the fence. Zimmer hitting the ball well and driving Wally Post back up on the incline. All around the outfield, the terrain slopes up to the fence here at Crosley Field. So outfielders must determine exactly how they're going to play the incline. Wally Post is playing it just about like Frank Thomas does. That is right at the foot of the incline, so that your first step back is a step up. Here is Chris Cannizzaro, the catcher, right-hand batter at the plate. Pitch is high for ball one. Cannizzaro has been up one time, and he struck out. Sherman Jones still throwing in the bullpen for the New York Mets as Cincinnati leads by a score of 4-1 here in the top half of the fifth inning. As a swing and a fly ball going foul on the right field line, it is curving now on over toward the stands and is out of play. 1-1, the count to Chris Cannizzaro. Thank you. The outfield is playing Canizero straight away. Cardenas at short has moved a step or two into the hole. And Casco has moved over a step toward the line. Check swing and right in there for a called strike. It's 1-2. Canizero checked. He's swaying, but umpire Al Foreman behind the plate says it's in there. Bob Perkey with the pitch. As a drive back to Perkey on one big hop, and he plays over to first in time for the out. As Chris Canizero sends one hopping right back to Bob Perkey. Tossed it over to Gordon Coleman. Two men out, nobody on. And Bob Moorhead is due up, and he's going to come up. With two men out and nobody on base, Bob Moorhead advancing to the plate here in the top half of the fifth inning. Sherman Jones is warm now and is sitting down since Moorhead is going to hit for himself. Mets were hoping to have something started by this time, but Moorhead's up there. Here's a swing and a miss for a strike. Nothing and one to Bob Moorhead with nobody on and two men out. Pitches outside for a ball. The outfield plays Moorhead, shaded a little over toward right. That is a normal defense for a pitcher unless he is a hitter known to pull the ball or a good hitting pitcher. He's figured that they're more likely to hit late than not. 1-1 to count to Moorhead. Curveball, and it's hit on the ground. DeCasco at third. He's up with it, plays across to Coleman at first in time, and Moorhead's out. Grounding out from Eddie Casco to Gordon Coleman, and the New York Mets are out in the top half of the fifth inning with no runs, on no hits, no errors, and nobody left. And at the end of 4 1/2 innings of play at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, the score is the Cincinnati Reds 4 and the New York Mets 1. Well, folks, the Mets may be New York's brand new team, but they've got a few famous New York names going for them. New York baseball fans certainly are familiar with many of the well-known names from the past. And what about Rheingold Beer? Now, there's a famous New York name, Rheingold, the largest selling beer in town year after year after year. Why is Rheingold so popular? Because it's more refreshing, naturally. Why is it more naturally refreshing? Because it's dry. That's right. Dry tells you why Rheingold has a taste all its own. It tells you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costlier way. It tastes brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Why not try a glass of Rheingold along with the game and see that there is a difference, a difference you can really taste. You'll join the millions who already say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. And right now, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
810 on your radio dial, WGY Schenectady, the smoothest sound around.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, where the Reds will be coming up here in the bottom half of the fifth inning, sending up Beta Benson, Frank Robinson, and Gordon Coleman. Reds leading by a score of 4-1, in case you have joined us along the way. The New York Mets got one run in the top half of the first inning. The Reds got one to tie it up in the bottom of the second, and then the Reds got three big ones in the bottom half of the third inning, and they lead now by a score of 4-1. We have had no home runs in the ballgame. Benson at the plate has doubled and singled in two previous trips. His batting average right now is 390. As it drives on the right field line, a foul ball off the bat of Ada Benson. Strike one. I remember a year ago in March being in Germany conducting baseball clinics for the Army along with Fred Haney. And one of the soldiers asked a question of Mr. Haney. He said, if you were going to have your choice of any ball player in the National League right now for the future, who would you pick? And Haney said, I'd pick Beta Pencil. He's a complete ball player. Moorhead's pitch goes high for ball. It's 1-1. He has speed. He can hit and hit for distance. Fields the position well and has a good arm. Has never played in the polo grounds, but will be there next Tuesday night. Count of one ball and one strike as Bob Moorhead dips into the windup. The pitch down, swung on and missed. Pull the string a little on him. It's 1-2. There's nobody on and nobody out for the Reds, batting in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Bob Miller was the starting pitcher for the Mets. He went 2 2/3 innings, in which he gave up 4 runs on 6 hits, struck out 1, and walked 1. As a swing and a fly ball to the right side, second baseman Charlie Neal underneath, waiting, and takes it for the out. So Benson has popped out, 1 away. That brings up Frank Robinson. He's been up twice. He grounded out and walked. He's nothing for 1 officially. Robinson's batting average right now, 173. Getting the sign from Canizero. They play Robinson to full. Stands right up there on the plate. There's a check swing pop down the first baseline in foul territory into the stands and out of play. Boucher gave it a run over there in front of the stands. Frank Robinson, 26 years of age, has a lifetime major league batting average of 302. Count of one strike to him right now. Right-hand batter. Moorhead with a wind-up and a pitch down. High, misses everybody. Comes on back. It's 1-1. Last year was a great season for Frank Robinson. He was the slugging king of the National League with a mark of 611. Second successive year, he led the league in slugging. Drove in 124 runs. That's a new all-time record for Cincinnati outfielders. Here's a pitch. It's low and away. This one gets away from Canizero and comes on back. He's chasing this one down. 2 balls and 1 strike to count now. Last year, Frank Robinson had the longest batting streak in the National League, 19 games. He led the league in sacrifice flies with 10. He was on the National League All-Star team. The most valuable Cincinnati player of 1961 and the most valuable player in the National League of 1961. Time call for the moment as he stepped out of the batter's box. Now he's back in with a count of 2 balls and 1 strike up here with nobody on and 1 man out. Pitch is low and away. Ball 3 to Frank Robinson. He drew a walk in the third inning. Three and one. Swing and a miss. It's strike 2. Just before the pitch, Elio Chacon moved about 3 steps more into the hole. Playing Robinson to pull right there on the pitch. Now it's 3-2. There's a payoff pitch. Swung out and has a fly ball to left. Frank Thomas drifts over. He's getting underneath. He's waiting and he takes it for the out. 2 away. 2 men out. Nobody on for the Reds. Batting in the bottom half of the fifth as the Reds lead the match by a score of 4-1. Gordon Coleman is coming up. He flied to left and hit into a double play. Coleman is low for ball 1. Bowman is hitting 268. One home run, seven runs batted in. Was in there for a called strike. It's 1-1. Two men out, nobody on base for the Reds. Pitch is low, 2-1. Gordon Coleman, during his minor league career, had a great record as a hitter, but there seemed to be some doubt among baseball experts that he ever could hit major league pitching with that stance and that motion of bailing out. But last year, he stepped into the Cincinnati lineup and was a big factor in their drive to the pennant. Here's a drive going on to right field for a base hit. Gus Bell up with it, relays it in, turning and holding it first is Gordon Coleman. With a single to right, that is the second hit for the Reds off Bob Moorhead since he came in to relieve Bob Miller. And coming up now is Wally Post. He's been up twice and he has two hits. He has driven in a run and he scored one. This is a fellow who has hit some tape measure home runs in his time around the National League, Wally Post. Right now, his batting average is 340. He has five home runs and 11 runs batted in. He's off to a great start this year. Pitch is low for a ball. A couple of seasons ago, it appeared that the career of Wally Post was just about ended. He was with the Philadelphia Phillies, and they were saying that he was just about at the end of the line, but he came back to Cincinnati, where he had known earlier fame, and stepped into the lineup of a pennant-winning baseball team. Swing and a miss. 1-1. Two men out. Coleman, the base runner at first. The defense is playing Wally Post to full. Throw to first. Coleman's getting back safely. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Down low. Had a notion, but didn't swing through. And it's 2-1 now to Wally Post. Last year, Wally Post had a season batting average of 294, and he had 20 home runs for the Reds. Coleman leads it first. 2-1 pitch. It's a called strike. 2-2. Caught a corner there. Bob Moorhead goes to the rosin bag just for the moment. Now Post steps back in. Reds have their four runs on eight hits. The Mets have their one run on four hits. Throw to first. Coleman dives back in this time. He's safe. Coleman leaves it first. Throw to first. He's back safely. Swinging a foul ball off the bat of Post. The count holds it 2-2. During the World Series played here last fall, construction was underway on an expressway behind the center field fence, and fans were all over the construction implements and the poles and everything else. Well, the expressway still is being built. The implements are not there, but fans are still out there on the embankment tonight looking over the center field fence at this ball game between the Cincinnati Reds and the New York Mets. Here's a pitch, swung on, the ground ball foul, out of play. This one is fielded by Reggie Otero, the coach at third for the Cincinnati Reds. Moorhead rubbing up the ball, looks around the outfield. Two balls and two strikes to count. The big Wally Post at the plate. Coleman leads it first. throw over there. He's back safely. Here's a 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out to retire the side. As Bob Moorhead achieves his first strikeout since coming on in relief. And he gets the Reds out with no runs on one hit, no errors, and one left. And at the end of five full innings of play at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, the score is the Cincinnati Reds 4 and the New York Mets 1. Sounds like New Yorkers are on the march. The song says, people everywhere sing out, my beer is Rheingold, a dry beer. And dry tells you why. Yes, sir, dry tells you Rheingold has a brisk, bright, clean taste all its own. Discover the difference dry makes. Pour yourself a tall, refreshing glass of Rheingold Extra Dry. Enjoy it along with the ballgame. Well, the ground crew has come out to manicure the infield a little bit here in accordance with National League rules, with the president of the National League, Mr. Warren Giles, looking on from an upstairs box. And we'll be going to the top half of the sixth inning. The New York Mets have the head of the batting order up there, and we have the head of the batting order up here, Bob Murphy.
Thank you very kindly, Lindsay. In the sixth inning, Richie Ashburn, already 2-for-2 in the game, hopes to get things going for the New York Mets against veteran right-hander Bob Purkey. Richie singled to right field in the first, and he singled to right center field in the third inning. Well, Richie now needs but 37 hits to reach the coveted 2,500 mark. Outside, it's ball one. The active players in the National League, only Stan the Man has more base hits than Ashburn. Richie hitting at 381. Eddie Casco playing in close at third against Ashburn. A strike on the outside corner. One ball, one strike. Young Johnny Edwards crouched behind the plate, setting up the target. The 1-1 pitch, taken high. Ball two, 2-1. Well, after Ashburn gets 2-for-2, one to right field and the other to right center, this time the Cincinnati Reds have straightened the defense up against him. They had been playing Richie to hit to the opposite field with Penson way over in left center. But this time, Veda is playing straight away against Ashburn. Now Bob Purkey deals 2-1. A foul ball back into the upper deck and the count is even. Cincinnati, 4 runs on 8 hits and no errors. The Mets, 1 run, 4 hits, and no errors. Rheingold Extra Dry, happy to be sending you the play-by-play from Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Pitching 2-2. Whacked foul down the left field line and out of play. Tonight at Milwaukee, Chris Short will be on the mound for the Phillies and Ron Pache for the Milwaukee Braves. At the end of 3.5, the Giants lead Pittsburgh 1-0. Gaylord Perry for San Francisco, Bob Friend for the Pirates. Fouled again off the fist and back toward the crowd, it'll be out of play. They're underway now down in Houston, Texas. The Cardinals did not score off lefty Dean Stone in the top of the first inning. Ray Washburn going out to the mound to face the Houston Colt 45. In a day game, the Cubs, with 4 in the last of the eighth inning, beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 9-6. Elston, the winner in relief, and Larry Sherry, the loser in relief of Jenny Padres. Fly ball hit deep down the right field line, and this will be foul. Richie Ashburn, who over the years has fouled many a pitch off. The end of four and a half, the Minnesota Twins lead the Baltimore Orioles 1-0. Don Lee against the Birds, Chuck Estrada. Fouled again. This time skimming back upstairs. The count stays at 2-2 on the Tilden, Nebraska Comet, Richie Ashburn. The only other night game in the American League will find Cleveland on the west coast at Chavez Ravine playing the Los Angeles Angels. Chavez Ravine has held no charm thus far for Bill Rigney's Angels. They have been having difficulty in winning there. They were beaten by Cleveland last night, 3-2. And the ball has popped up down the third baseline, a foul ball. Getting under it, though, is Eddie Casco. And on the coaching lines, Casco takes it for the out. So Bob Perkey hung in there and wins his duel with Richie Ashburn, and that brings up Chacon. Elio on a hit-and-run play, single to left field in the first. He tried to go to second when Wally Post threw to third, but a good, accurate throw from Casco to Blasingame nailed Chacon going into second. Elio then struck out in the third. He has one hit and two times up. Chacon hitting at 313. Taken high, one ball, no strikes. Tomorrow will be an off day for both of these teams. Friday, Cincinnati goes into St. Louis, and of course, the Mets are at home at the Polo Grounds against the Phillies. Taken for a strike, one ball, one strike. Next Monday, Cincinnati plays a benefit game against Cleveland here in Cincinnati, and then they fly into New York for the first night game of the season at the Polo Grounds. That'll be Tuesday night, May 1st. 1-1 delivery. Breaking ball outside. Two balls and a strike. One out, nobody on. The Mets behind 4-1. Taken high by Elio Chacon. Three balls and one strike. Veteran right-hander Bob Perkey has not given up a walk, has struck out four. Allowed one run, four base hits. Three-one delivery. Ball four. It's inside and low, and there's the first one handed out by Bob Perkey. Now the number three hitter in the batting order, Gus Bell. This is one of those nights in which Gus has had no luck whatsoever. In the first inning, with the infield playing in with the runner on third, one down, Gus hit a ground ball sharply that looked like it was a base hit, but Leo Cardenas left his feet, made a head-first dive to smother the ball, scrambled to his feet, fired to first in time to get Gus, and the lone Met run, Ashburn, came in to score on the play. His second time up, Benson went up the hill against the center field wall to take one. Inside and low, one ball and no strikes. Ballpark was just big enough to hold the one Bell hit his last time up. As Benson climbed the hill, put his back against the wall, and took it at the 390-foot mark. Chacon leading off first, one out. Perkey off the stretch delivers. A foul ball whipped back toward the screen. One ball, one strike. At Forbes Field, the Bucks came up with two in their half of the fourth inning. They now lead San Francisco 2-1 at the end of four. And at Milwaukee, the Phillies scored twice off Ron Pache in the top of the first inning.
Tonight's state attendance, 5,563.
5,563 that paid tonight. Bell leans in and takes, and it's off the outside edge of the plate. Two balls and one strike. Gordy Coleman not holding against Elio Chacon with Bell, a left-hand hitter, up there. Eddie Casco, even with the bag, wide of the line at third, and Leo Cardenas shaded towards second. The outfield swung around toward right. Pitching 2-1. Drive hit hard, but it will be fouled on the right field line. Just ripping a curveball, but a little bit too far out in front, and it goes foul down the line. After the chilly weather of the first week of the season, it was quite an upset to get that temperature up to 88 degrees today. Two and two on Gus. Now he cocks the bat. In comes the pitch to him. Low, it's ball three. Now the string is out. 3-2 to Gus Bell. Gus has hit many a home run into that moon deck in right field over the years. He spent 9 seasons here at Cincinnati. Full count 3-2. One down as Amy Oshikone leads off first. Now the pitch. And it's a high fly ball to center field, not too deep. Ambling back a few strands, Veda Penson. And Veda makes the catch for the out. There are two away. Bob Perkey getting Gus Bell on 3-2. That brings up Frank Thomas. Frank grounded out short to first in the first inning and then singled to left field in the fourth inning. So Frank has 1-for-2. He's hitting at 273. Leads the Mets in home runs with 4 and RBIs with 7. A half swing and a ground ball hit right back to the mound. Perkey has it and throws to first to retire the side. Kind of a half-hearted swing. Frank started after, then trying to hold up. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one left on. At the end of 5.5 innings, the score, the Reds 4, and the Mets 1. Well, you know, folks, like the sign says, new team, new girl, same great beer. Yes, sir, New York has certainly taken to its brand new National League team, the Mets. And our new Miss Rheingold 1962, well, who's more popular than lovely Kathy Kirsch? And that same great beer, Rheingold. It's been New York's favorite for as long as I can remember. How come so many millions choose Rheingold over all other beers? Simply enough. It's beer as beer should taste. Dry tells you why. Dry beer is lighter, more naturally refreshing, and Rheingold is extra dry. Extra dry for that extra refreshing taste no other beer can match. Why not see for yourself now what a difference dry makes? Enjoy a glass of refreshing Rheingold along with the game. You'll join millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Johnny Edwards, 1-for-2 in the game, leading off against Bob Moorhead in the home half of the sixth inning. Day games today in the National League, the Cubs beat the Dodgers 9-6. Yankees won a big one with 4 in the ninth inning to beat the White Sox 7-6. Breaking ball taken, 1 ball and no strikes. The Red Sox beat Washington 7-1, a 5-hitter by Gene Conley. And Kansas City won a slugfest from Detroit 9-8. Two balls and no strikes. Well, you can never figure baseball, which certainly is one of the reasons it's our national pastime. Last night in Detroit, Don Massey outpitched or outdueled Dan Pfister, with the Tigers winning 1-0. Today, the A's win it 9-8. Drive hit hard to right center toward the alley. Ashburn running at full speed won't be able to get there. It's bouncing off the wall in right center for an extra base hit. Edwards around second checks up there. Johnny Edwards, the left-handed batting catcher, hit that one hard, a line drive. On one hop, it was up against the wire fence in the extreme right center field corner, 390 feet out. So that is the third hit given up by relief pitcher Bob Moorhead, the ninth in the game for Cincinnati. And the hitter will be Leo Cardenas, the shortstop. Cardenas has one hit and two times up. He singled in the second inning to drive in Wally Post with the first Cincinnati run. That tied the game 1-1. The Reds went in front with three runs in the third inning, and they lead 4-1. Now the Mets are on the alert against the possibility of the bunt. Ed Boucher moving up the line. Down comes the pitch. He takes an outside ball one. Bob Purkey will be up next. And then Don Blasingame. Now the pitch on the way. Full swing and a line drive to right field for a base hit. It's rolling down the line and into the corner. Around third, heading in is Johnny Edwards. Around second is Cardenas. He's flying toward third, and he'll be in at third, standing up with a right field triple. Cardenas, a right-hand hitter, hit a hard line drive down the right field line and into the right field corner. It goes 366 feet to the right field corner at the foul pole. By the time Gus Bell could run the ball down and get it back to Charlie Neal, they had no shot at all on Cardenas. He was in standing up with a run-scoring triple. So the Reds increased their lead to 5-1. They have a runner at Cardenas on third, nobody out, and Bob Purkey coming up. And now the Mets will bring the infield in tight on the edge of the carpet. Once again, the sign has been sent to the bullpen, and Roadblock Jones starts loosening up. That is the first run given up by Bob Moorhead. They look for anything in this spot. Down comes the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike one. Leo Cardenas on third. Nobody out. The pitcher, Bob Purkey, is up. Moorhead with the windup. Down comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Once again, Purkey checking with Reggie Otero, the third base coach. Don Blasingame on deck, and then Eddie Casco. Moorhead winds, and the pitch on the way. Is inside at the letters. One ball, two strikes. Cincinnati, 5 runs on 10 hits, no errors. The Mets, 1 run, 4 hits, no errors. Pitching 1-2. He struck him out, swinging with a big breaking ball. And now before Don Blasingame steps in to hit, will step out for station identification.
810 on your dial, WGY, a General Electric station, Schenectady.
Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner from Crosley Field, Cincinnati. Don Zimmer, Chris Canavero, and Bob Moorhead talk things over now with the runner on third, Cardenas, who can run. Blasingame, a left-hand hitter up, and one man out. Now, Al Jackson, a left-hander, will start limbering up. So in the bullpen, the Mets have Sherman Jones, a right-hander, Al Jackson, a left-hander, both getting ready. The infield plays in tight. Blasting game, 0 for 2 in the game, has lined out to Ashburn, fly to Ashburn, but on base once when he was hit by a pitch and later scored. Down comes the pitch. Outside is ball one. Canizero cast a quick glance toward third. Now Moorhead looks the runner back. Into his windup. The pitch on the way. Strike called. A fastball at the letters. One ball and one strike on Don Blasingame. Don was passing out the cigars in the clubhouse prior to the ball game because he's the bouncing papa of a proud baby boy. One and one, the count on Blasingame. The pitch on the way. Misses the outside edge, 2-1. Cardenas gave that one a good bluff as though he was coming. Last half of the sixth inning. Cardenas on third, one down. Now the windup and the pitch. This is the outside corner, 3-1. Cardenas came way down the line, then checked it up. And he may be bothering Bob Moorhead just a little bit. 3-1 count on Don Blasingame. Delivery. Outside, it's ball four. Blasingame walks. That is the first walk given up by Bob Moorhead in relief. And it brings up Eddie Casco. Casco playing third has 1-for-3, single to center field in the third inning and later scored. Casco crossed the plate while the Mets were turning a double play. Every time the Mets turn a double play, it means 1,000 Viceroy cigarettes to the Veterans Hospital in New York. The same is true each time a member of the Mets hits a home run. Now the infield is halfway. The outfield a step toward left. For Eddie Casco, right-hand hitter. Runners at the corners, one man down. Casco, the hitter, 5-1. Cincinnati in front. Into the stretch now is Moorhead. Now the pitch. Starts him off with a curve, and it breaks over for a call, strike one. And now Don Zimmer turns to Ed Sudol, the third base umpire, and said, let's hold it for a moment. And he makes a quick journey to the mound. Met defensive infield must be alert for just about anything. Eddie Casco, the number two man in the batting order. Good hit and run man. Good bunter. Charlie Neal and Elio Chacon set up hoping for a double play. The one strike pitch. Fly ball looped to shallow right center field. Bell racing in at full speed. Makes the catch. Tagged up as Cardenas and he's going to hold up. He comes down the line to draw the throw, which was a good one. In perfect line for the cutoff man, Ed Boucher, and Ed, after seeing that Cardenas was holding up, cut the throw off. So the runners hold at first and third. There are two away, and the batter now, Theda Penson. Theda has 2-for-3. He is hitting a scorching 383. Theda has 4 home runs, 21 runs batted in. And now Casey Stengel is moving to the mound. He has Al Jackson, a left-hander, warming up, along with the right-hander, Sherman Jones. Casey Stengel, with arms folded, in the midst of the huddle now on the mound, talking to his pitcher, Bob Moorhead. And the left-hander, Al Jackson, will be brought in to face Veda Penson. So Bob Moorhead will be leaving the game with two down in the last of the sixth inning. That means Moorhead pitches a total of three innings. He worked one-third of the third inning and two-thirds of the sixth inning. Bob Moorhead at the moment has given up one run, four base hits, walked one, and struck out two. To one the score. The Reds in front were in the last of the sixth inning, and now Bob Moorhead leaves the game. Lefty Al Jackson will be making his fourth appearance of the year. Al has started twice, appeared once in relief. He relieved against Pittsburgh, started against Pittsburgh, and then started against the Cardinals. Al Jackson, who was born on Christmas Day in 1935 in Waco, Texas, has won none and lost two. Throws a lot of curveballs and a lot of sliders. Jackson firing in his warm-up pegs to Chris Cannizzaro. Al, the third pitcher tonight, used now by Casey Stengel. Bob Miller started. Bob left the game in the third when Cincinnati came up with three runs. In two and two-thirds innings, Miller gave up four runs, six base hits. Bob Moorhead in three has allowed one run, four hits, walked one, struck out two. So Casey Stengel anticipating that this situation might come up. About 5 minutes ago, sent the sign down to the bullpen for Al Jackson to hurriedly get ready. Casey going with the percentages, getting the left-hander in to face the left-hand hitter, Veda Penson. Don Zimmer playing in close at third, wide of the line. Chacon up a stride at short against the speed of Veda Penson. Now Jackson off the stretch. In comes his pitch. Curve is way outside. One ball and no strikes. Leo Cardenas on third. Don Blasingame on first. There are two away. Jackson makes the 1 second stop. Kicks the leg, pitches, swing, and a miss on a breaking ball. One ball, one strike to Penson. Veda Penson makes his first Polo Grounds appearance next Tuesday night, May 1st, in the very first night game of the year at the Polo Grounds. One and one, the count on Veda Penson. Now the pitch on the way. Outside and low, Cannizzaro had to go out for it, and the count two and one. Sherman Jones continues to warm in the bullpen. Pitching two and one. Taking a high, ball three, and Jackson now is behind on Penson, three and one. Frank Robinson, a right-hand batter, waiting on deck. Veda with an over-to-close stance. bends just slightly from the waist, down on the mound of the bat. 3-1 delivery. A line drive into right field, a base hit for Veda Penson. Leo Cardenas is in to score, and the ball goes through the legs of Gus Bell. Passing game around third is digging for the plate. There'll be no play for him. He comes in, and Penson goes all the way to third base. It'll be a single for Veda Penson and an RBI driving in Cardenas. Penson's second RBI of the game. The ball gets through the legs of Gus Bell for an error, enabling Blasting Game to come in. And Veda Penson, who can really fly, goes all the way to third. And now the Reds on a 6-run lead. They are out in front 7-1. The batter is Frank Robinson. Here's the windup pitched by Jackson. Gets the inside corner for a strike. Both runs charged to Bob Moorhead. The runner on third, Penson, has the responsibility of relief pitcher Al Jackson. In comes the pitch to Robinson, fouled back into the screen, strike two. Frank starting the year in a batting slump. He's 0-for-2 in this game, has grounded out and flied to left. His other time up in the third inning, he drew a walk. Frank has 9 hits in 53 times up. Infield back deep now. The 2-strike pitch, a high fly ball to left center. Richie Ashburn strolls to his right, is there and makes the catch to retire the side. But Cincinnati, in the home sixth inning, adds 3 runs. There were 3 hits, 1 error, and 1 man left on. 3 runs, 3 hits, 1 error, and 1 left on. Al Jackson gets credit for 1/3 of the inning. He gave up 1 hit. The 3 runs crossing the plate charged to Bob Moorhead. And so at the end of 6, the score now, Cincinnati 7 and the New York Mets 1. In other games, at the end of 2 innings, the Phillies and the Milwaukee Braves are tied 2-2. Chris Short against the Braves' Ron Pache. 5 innings complete now at Forbes Field. Pittsburgh 2, the Giants 1. Gaylord Perry pitching for the Giants. Bob Friend for the Pirates. Friend trying for his 4th win of the year without a loss. St. Louis nothing, Houston nothing after an inning and a half. Washburn against Dean Stone. In a day game, the Cubs got 4 in the 8th inning to outslug the Dodgers 9-6. Elston, the winner in relief. Hobby had started. Sherry, the loser in relief. Padres had started. Duke Snyder, Willie Davis, Ron Sano, Ernie Banks, and Andre Rogers all hit home runs. Kansas City won a slugfest from Detroit 9-8. Jerry Walker, the winner. Doug Gallagher, the loser. Minnesota won. Baltimore nothing at the end of 6. Don Lee against Chuck Estrada. The Yanks beat the White Sox 7-6, and the Red Sox beat Washington 7-1. And right now would be a good time to light up a Viceroy. Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the taste that's right. That's right. We're in the 7th inning now with Ed Boucher up against Bob Purkey, and the breaking ball is inside. Boucher 0-for-2, batting at 333. Perky deals, breaking ball over, a strike. 1 ball and 1 strike. The 1-1 delivery. He lays off of it. It's up high. Ball 2-2-1. Cincinnati, 7 runs, 11 hits, no errors. The Mets, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 error. Infield and the outfield around to right. Boucher swings and misses 2-2. Charlie Neal on deck, and then Dan Zimmer. Pitching 2-2. He swings at a knuckler, misses, and gets away from Edwards. Edwards throwing to first in time to get Boucher. He had to run it down about 10 feet after having it pop out of his mitt. Five strikeouts for Bob Perkey. And that brings up Charlie Neal. Charlie has been up twice tonight, and both times been struck out by Perkey. Charlie hitting at 297 on 11 for 37. Ground ball bounced right back to the mound, taken in the glove hand by Perkey. He throws to Gordy Coleman, and there are two away. Bob Perkey has been mighty tough. He has given up just two base hits since the first inning. He joined us late. The Mets scored their only run of the game in the first inning. Ashburn led off with a single to right. Chacon on a hit-and-run play, single to left. Richie went to third, and then Richie scored as Bell was thrown out. Ball one to Don Zimmer. Don 0 for 2 has grounded out short to first and flied deep to left field. Perkey winding, and the pitch is hit high in the air to center field. Beta Penson moves in about three steps, draws a beat on it, and puts it away for the third out. So the Mets are out in order in their half of the seventh inning with no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. At the end of six and a half innings, the score is Cincinnati 7 and the New York Mets 1. You know, after you've seen all the teams in action, it's fairly easy to spot the standout player at the various positions. Same way with filter cigarettes. After you've smoked all seven of the leaders, you know there's a big difference in Viceroy. Now, some taste so strong, you might as well not smoke a filter cigarette at all. And others taste so light, they take all the fun out of smoking. But you can tell Viceroy's an all-star the first time you try them. Yes, sir? Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. So fans, remember, there's a big difference in the taste of filter cigarettes. The way to prove it for yourself is to catch up with the seven leading filter cigarettes in action. Yes, sir, smoke all seven. And I'll bet you'll agree with our rating. You'll find some taste too strong, some taste too light. But Viceroy's got the taste that's right. That's right, my friends. Better change to Viceroy and get the filter cigarette that bats 1,000 for taste. Seventh inning in Cincinnati, the Reds with a six-run lead have Gordy Coleman up against lefty Al Jackson. Gordy singled a right in the fifth inning, has one for three. Tried to hold up on a swing, but he foul-tipped the ball, strike one. Gordy came up through the Cleveland organization, had a big year at Mobile, and then the Cincinnati Reds made a deal with Cleveland to get him. Outside, one ball, one strike. This for Gordy Coleman is his third year with the Reds. Last year was a good one. Hit 287, knocked 87 runs in. From Rockville, Maryland. The 1-1 delivery, ground ball hit down the first baseline. Ed Boucher has it. He flips to Jackson covering in time for the out. Al Jackson reminds you a great deal of Harvey Haddixon, Bobby Shands, the way he feels his position. Boy, he was over there to get that throw from Ed Boucher almost before Boucher had in his glove. One away, nobody on in the last half of the seventh. Now Wally Post. Wally off to a fast start. In tonight's game, he has two for three and has driven in a run. Post hitting at 333. Takes outside and low, it's ball one. In 12 years, Wally has a lifetime average of 268. But he's been well over his lifetime average the last 2 years, the 11th and 12th of his career. Slow breaking ball for a strike. One ball and one strike. Last year, he hit 294, and year before last, 282. He came back to Cincinnati right on the trade deadline, June 15th, year before last. Outside and low, two balls and one strike. For the ball players, undoubtedly the most nervous day of the season is June 15th. Pitching 2-1. Breaking ball just off the outside corner, 3-1. Year in and year out, trades are always made right on the deadline. The Giants came up with four runs in the top of the sixth inning, and they have gone ahead of Pittsburgh 5-2 at the end of 5.5. It's outside, ball four, and Wally Post gets a base on balls. First walk given up by Jackson. That will bring up Johnny Edwards. Johnny Edwards has 2 for 3. He hit a long double to right center his last time up. He was leading off in the sixth inning when he doubled, and he came in to score on a right field triple by Leo Cardenas. Reds in front, 7-1, home seventh inning. He leans in and takes. It's outside, ball one. One away with Wally Post on first base. Edwards sitting out of a crouch. Down comes the pitch. Inside at the knees, ball two, 2-0. Although the group of young pitchers for the New York Mets have encountered a lot of difficulty, George Weiss and Casey Stengel both still feel that they will get into a good groove and will pitch good ball. Ground ball back to the mound. Jackson has it. He throws to second to Chacon. One. Back to first. Safe on a close one. Johnny Edwards reaching on the fielder's choice. Jackson fired to Elios Chacon. But Elios pegged to Boucher, was not in time for two. Now there are two away, and the hitter is Leo Cardenas. Cardenas has a big night going. A single, he flied to center, and he tripled to right. He has driven in two of the seven Cincinnati runs. Too high, ball one. Leo Cardenas and Veda Penson each have driven in two. Wally Post has knocked in one. One run scored while a double play was being made, and the other came in on an error charged to Gus Bell. Low, ball two, 2-0. Cardenas, who got into about half of the games last year, hit over 300. Right now, with 8 for 34, he's batting at 235. Way outside, it's ball three, 3-0. Freddie Hutchinson forced to revise his infield somewhat due to the injury to Gene Freeze. They had hoped that Cliff Cook, a rookie who had a great year in AAA last season, would be the answer. But when he failed to get off to a good start in the spring, Freddie went to the veteran Eddie Casco. In there for a strike, 3-1. We'll take a look at our complete scoreboard at the end of the inning. Jackson ready, deals 3-1. The runner goes, grounder hit down to third. Zimmer up with it, even with the bag, hurries the peg in time, and they have Cardenas to retire the side. Zip had to put plenty on that throw because he had to come up to field the grounder. Side retired in the seventh inning with no runs, no hits, no errors, one left on. And now seven innings complete. The score, Cincinnati 7 and the New York Mets 1. On our scoreboard at the end of 2.5, Phillies 2 and the Braves 2, short against Boucher. At the end of 5.5, the Giants have gone ahead of Pittsburgh 5-2. On home runs by Orlando Cepeda with two men on and Ed Bailey with the bases clear. Don Larson has relieved Gaylord Perry. He may have come in. Perry probably went out for a hitter. Bob Friend is in there for the Pirates. Houston nothing, St. Louis nothing at the end of 3. Ray Washburn against Dean Stone. In a day game, the Cubs beat the Dodgers 9-6 with 4 in the 8th inning. Elston the winner, Larry Sherry the loser, 5 home runs in the game. In the American League, Kansas City 9, Detroit 8. Tigers were charged with 5 errors in that game. They used Doug Gallagher, Sam Jones, Paul Foytak, Fred Gladding, and Phil Regan. At the end of 7, Baltimore, on a home run by Jackie Brandt, has tied up the Minnesota Twins 1-1 at the end of 7. Nothing yet on Cleveland and Los Angeles on the West Coast. In day games, the Yankees, storming from behind with 4 in the 9th inning, beat the White Sox 7-6. Whitey Ford, Bud Daly, Jim Coates, and Roland Sheldon for New York. With Sheldon the winner, he came on in the 9th. Lazaro, Fisher in the 9th, and Lown in the 9th, Fisher the loser. Landis and Scourin hit home runs. A 5-hitter for Gene Conley, the Red Sox beat Washington 7-1. Home runs by Frank Malzone and Gene Conley. Now Chris Canizero is up, and the pitch thrown by Perkey is a strike on the outside corner. Casey Stengel has roadblock loosening up again with the pitcher scheduled up next. Next pitch. Breaking ball over, a call strike. Two strikes to Chris Canizero. Chris, 0-2 in the game. Jim Marshall has come out on deck. Foul tip. He missed it on the knuckleball. A ball dropped by Edwards. He picks it up. Throws to first in time. Canizero almost legged it down there in time. We thought at first it was a foul tip, but he had swung and missed the pitch. It hit against the chest protector. Bounded away, and Edwards retrieved and threw in time. Now Jim Marshall is coming up to bat for Al Jackson. Bob Perkey, who has walked only one man, now has struck out 6. Jim Marshall stepping in to pinch hit. He tries to bunny his way on, but the ball goes foul off to the left. No play, strike 1. Jim hitting at 3-13, 5-16, including 2 home runs. All 3 of the New York Mets first basemen have real good power when they get a hold of one. Taken high, 1-1. The Mets, after tonight's game, will be back in the Polo Grounds for 6 games. 4 games with the Phillies over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, doubleheader on Sunday. Then the first night game of the year, Tuesday night against Cincinnati, and a day game on Wednesday against the Reds. The ball is popped up to short left field. Moving out goes the shortstop, Leo Cardenas, and he has it for the out. Bob Perkey just seems to be getting stronger as the game rolls along. He has now retired 7 in a row. He has not given up a base hit since the 4th inning when Thomas singled. Perkey has retired 13 of the last 14 hitters. The only man to reach along that string was Elio Chacon when he drew a walk. Now Richie Ashburn is up. Richie's 2-for-3. Runs up as if to bunt. Takes it. It's strike 1 called. Eighth inning, Cincinnati 7, New York Mets 1. Bob Perkey swings into his windup, now pitches. Curve inside, one ball, one strike. Richie Ashburn choking up on the handle of the bat. Whacks it foul back up into the crowd. One ball and two strikes. They changed their defensive strategy against Richie after his first two times up. First two times he came up, they had Pinson over in left center. Moved everything around, playing him to hit to the opposite field. And both times, Richie got base hits to right field. And now they are playing him almost straight away. On the left side of the infield, Cardenas, the shortstop, has moved a stride or two over toward the hole. Knuckleball outside. The count is even at 2-2. The Milwaukee Braves are exploding against Chris Short and the Phillies in the last half of the third inning. Eddie Matthews has rocked a three-run homer, and Joe Adcock has hit one nobody on. Popped up off the fist, down the first baseline. Up the line comes Gordy Coleman. In fair territory, he takes it for the out. The Mets are out in the eighth inning with no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. And now at the end of 7.5 innings, the score, the Cincinnati Reds 7 and the New York Mets 1. Coming up now, a medley with an old world flavor.
Dick Damone saying, down on Mulberry Street, far and near, the one they like is Rheingold beer.
Rheingold è la birra da bere, che delizia poterla godere. Dolce amara non è, ma perfetta lo è, comperate la Rheingold teste.
Italian and English have the same word for refreshment, Rheingold. Remember that name when you want beer that's brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Dry tells you why. Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costlier way. It's New York's favorite. It's beer as beer should taste.
My beer is Rheingold, a dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet. It's the dry flavor treat. Won't you try extra dry Rheingold beer?
Ciao.
The last half of the eighth inning now, and the New York Mets have Sherman Roadblock Jones coming in to pitch. Al Jackson leaving the game in favor of a pinch hitter, Jim Marshall. And now Roadblock is all set to go to work in the last of the eighth inning. And the leadoff hitter for Cincinnati will be Bob Perkey. Perkey has been up three times, failed to hit, twice has been struck out, and in the fourth inning, flied to center. Down in the bullpen, Jay Hook is just tuning up. Squibber hits slowly down the first baseline. Coming up to the ball is Ed Boucher. He puts the tag on Perkey as he comes down the line, one away. An unassisted play for Ed Boucher. And now before Don Blassingame steps in to face Roadblock Jones, let's pause for station identification.
810 on your dial, WGY Schenectady, the smoothest sound around.
Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner from Cincinnati. The Reds leading 7-1, last of the eighth inning. The leadoff hitter, Don Blassingame, up. Left-hand batter leans in and takes ball one. Blassingame has lined to Ashburn in right center, been hit by a pitch and later scored, flied to Ashburn in center and drawn a walk. Foul ball back, one ball and one strike. Last year, a Blassingame's average fell off to .222. But lifetime, he's a .261 hitter. Zimmer in close to third. Fastball on a strike on the inside corner, and Roadblock had plenty on that one. Roadblock has a real good fastball, and Red Ruffing has been working with him, trying to get him to go with it more. Sherman out of his windup, the 1-2 pitch. Outside and high, 2-2 on Don Blassingame. Blassingame came to Cincinnati along with Bob Smith and the fellow on the mound right now, Sherman Jones, for Ed Bailey. 2-2 pitch. Foul ball back, no play. In that trade, only Blassingame remains with the Reds. Smith has gone to Washington, and of course, Sherman Jones to the Mets. Two-two delivery. Just got a piece of that one. A foul ball coming back, no play. Mets flying home right after the game tonight. They'll be getting in to New York in the wee hours, probably around 2:30. Tomorrow is an off day. They'll be tendered a salute tomorrow night by the Manhattan Club. And Friday, they play the Phillies at the Polo Grounds on the opener of the homestand. An off-speed delivery by Roadblock, missing 3-2. Pitching 3-2. Fastball outside, ball 4. Blassingame on base for the third time tonight. The Mets have used 4 pitchers in tonight's game, and each pitcher has given up 1 walk. Bob Miller, Bob Moorhead, Al Jackson, and now Sherman Jones. Here's Eddie Casco. Eddie has 1 hit in 4 times up. He's singled in the third inning. Right-hand batter. Blassingame with a leadoff first. And the pitch was taken, ball 1. Eddie Casco from Linden, New Jersey. 5-year veteran who first came up with the Cardinals. Strike on the outside corner. 1-1. Last year, Eddie hit 271. Blassingame leading off first, and now Roadblock steps off. Last year, when Eddie Casco hit 271, he just about hit his lifetime average, which is 272. A throw to first, not in time. And Blassingame is asking Tom Gorman, the first base umpire, about the move made by Roadblock. The 1-1 pitch. Ground ball hit down to third. Zimmer has it. Fires across to Neal. There's one. On to first. Not in time. Blassingame went hard into Charlie Neal at second base. Ball had been thrown from deep third by Don Zimmer. So they forced Don Blassingame from Don Zimmer to Charlie Neal. Casco reaching on the fielder's choice. And that brings up Beta Pinson. Beta Pinson has 3 for 4 in tonight's game, has driven 2 runs in. Foul ball. Tried to hold up strike 1. In 3 full seasons with Cincinnati, Beta had his first full season, 205 hits. His second year, 187, and last year, 208. Lifetime average of 313. He appeared in 27 games in 58 after a big year at Seattle. Now the pitch by Roadblock. Ground ball bounced rather slowly on the right side of the diamond. Neal reaching the ball, running toward the hole, throws to Boucher for the third out. Side out. in the last half of the eighth inning, and for the Reds, no runs, no hits, no errors, one left on. So at the end of eight, the score, the Cincinnati Reds 7 and the New York Mets 1. And we'll be going along to the ninth inning with the Mets coming in and pinning their hopes on Elio Chacon, Gus Bell, and Frank Thomas. We hope you're making your ticket plans now to catch action at the Polo Grounds in the six-game homestand. The Phillies in for day games on Friday, Saturday, and a doubleheader Sunday. Monday at open date. Then the first night game of the year on Tuesday night, May 1 against Cincinnati. The Reds again on Wednesday, May 2nd. The tickets are on sale at Grand Central Station, the 42nd and Vanderbilt ramp, the Long Island waiting room of the Penn Station, and the Polo Grounds. Remember, too, if you find it more convenient, the ticket reservations may be made at all Howard closed stores. And if you prefer to order your tickets by mail, address your correspondence to the ticket manager, Polo Grounds, New York 39. Box seats are $3.50, reserve seats $2.50, include 25 cents for postage and handling. Elio Chacon will be leading off in the ninth inning against Bob Perkey. Perkey has retired 14 of the last 15 hitters that he has faced. The only man to reach of the last 15 was Chacon, who drew a walk in the sixth inning. Now Perkey into his windup, and the pitch thrown. A looper hit in the air out towards second. Under the ball is Blasting Game, and he takes it for the out. Kind of a soft line drive, not really enough height to it to be a pop-up. One away in the ninth. The Mets have been held to four hits by Bob Perkey, and the batter now is Gus Bell. Gus 0 for 3 tonight. Way inside, he had to jump back to get out of the way, ball one. Perkey cranking up. Down comes the pitch. A strike on the inside corner. One ball, one strike. Beta Penson has led the red leg attack tonight with 3 for 5 and 2 RBIs. Leo Cardenas 2 for 4 and 2 RBIs. Wally Post and Johnny Edwards each getting 2 hits. Ground ball on the right side of the diamond. Gordy Coleman off to his right grabs it, throws to Perkey covering in time. Two men down in the top of the ninth inning. Mets down to their final out in the ninth inning. We'll have Frank Thomas coming up. Mets held to four hits by Perkey. Ashburn 2, Chacon 1, and Frank Thomas 1. Drive hit hard in the air to left field. Coming in is Wally Post. He drops the ball. It breaks off his glove. Thomas around first is on his way to second, and he'll go into second base standing up. It'll be scored as a two-base error against Wally Post. It was a hard line drive. Post coming in, got his glove on it, but failed to hold it. Perkey had retired 10 straight. That breaks the string. He has not given up a hit since back in the fourth inning. They had a wild inning in the fourth down in Houston. The Cardinals scored 4 runs, and Houston came right back for 3 runs. So the Cardinals lead the Colt 45s 4-3 at the end of four. Washburn and Stone, the starters, are still in there. Kurt Flood, a line drive hitter, hit a 2-run homer. Inside and low, ball one to Ed Boucher. The Braves got 4 in the third inning, and they now lead the Phillies 6-2 at the end of 3.5. Giants 5, Pirates 2 at the end of 6. The Cubs won a day game from the Dodgers 9-6. They're in the ninth inning in Baltimore, Minnesota 1 and the Orioles 1. Inside and high. Ed Boucher, the batter. Two down, Frank Thomas on second. Now Bob Perkey, behind on the count 2-0, up in pitching position. Here's the pitch. And the ball is a foul pop-up toward the backstop, and no play for Johnny Edwards. One on Ed Boucher. Reds 7, Mets 1. We're in the top of the ninth inning. In comes the pitch to him. Swing and a miss on a fastball. 2-2. Jim Lemon has just hit a two-run homer in the top of the ninth inning at Baltimore. And the Minnesota Twins have gone in front of the Orioles 3-1. That is the only night game going in the American League. The Cleveland and Los Angeles game has yet to start. It'll be about 45 minutes away. And the other American League games were in the afternoon, with the A's beating Detroit 9-8, the Yankees beating the White Sox 7-6, the Red Sox beating Washington 7-1. He went to a knuckleball on 2-2, but it flutters outside, and now the string is out 3-2. Full count 3-2 on Boucher. Frank Thomas on second, two men down. Mets 6 runs behind in the top of the ninth. Pitching 3-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. So Bob Perkey, finishing mighty strong, gets his 7th strikeout of the game. Perkey retired 17 of the last 19 hitters. The only two men to reach along the way, one with a walk and the other as the result of an error. So we'll check the line score of tonight's game and have a word about the Friday actions at the Polo Grounds in just 1 minute.